Blog Talk Radio. Are you barefooters out there looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book. The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
Welcome to Barefoot is Legal Radio, where you will learn the benefits and your rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. And now, here to empower you and dispel the myth of going barefoot, is a full-time barefooter of over 15 years and veterans legal advocate, your host, Nick Pierce.
Well, hello, and welcome back to another great edition of the Barefoot is Legal radio show. I'm your host, Nick Pierce, and for those of you that may not know, I am a full-time barefooter of over 15-plus years. I got rid of the last pair of anything that goes on my feet over 12 years ago. I'm the head of MP Media Group, where I did a radio show called The Business of Arts, Music, and Entertainment for a few years, where I empowered up-and-coming artists in the entertainment business to advance their careers. I'm also a victim legal advocate standing up for the human rights that we as the barefoot community have and the head of BIL's victim legal services team. Now, many of you have different reasons for going barefoot. For some of you, it may be for religious reasons, some of you for cultural reasons, others for health or medical reasons. Even though our reasons are different, there are people out there that think that there are laws, policies, rules, regulations, or dangers about being barefoot in public. Whatever your reasons are, call in, share your stories, your experiences, whatever issues you may be having. If you want to be a part of the show today, the call-in number is 319-527-6208. Press 1 to be on the air. We also have our live chat room open at freedomizerradio.com. You can interact with us during and after the show there. Check out our archives on that website as well if you've missed any of the past episodes and want to take a listen to them. Also, check out our website, barefootislegal.org. Our Facebook page and our Facebook group. You can interact with other members there as well. If you live a barefoot lifestyle or are interested in living a barefoot lifestyle, join our private group if you have not joined already. Again, it's on Facebook, Barefoot is Legal. But now keep in mind, for that closed group, this is not a place for you heavy breathing fun seekers to get your rocks off on foot pictures. No, no, no. This is not a fetish community. We are here to educate and empower you and spread the message that bare feet are legal. And with that said, now it's time to kick off your shoes if you are wearing any or still have any at all, and enjoy the next hour and a half of time that we have together. This past week, there's been a lot of 4th of July celebrations celebrating our freedom and our patriotism towards this nation. And it's funny, I was talking to someone the other day, and they were kind enough to share something with me where what happened to the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence? And it's kind of funny. We here on the Barefoot is Legal show and in the Facebook group and all that, and our whole Barefoot community, the whole BIL community, we're simply trying to stand up for our freedom. We have a lot of times where people say, like, oh, there are health department rules and OSHA and it's public health, public safety, this, that, and the other. And, they don't get that people are barefoot for religious reasons. They don't get that people are barefoot for medical reasons. They don't get that because of people's personal lifestyle choices, they have a right. And that's what we're here about every week. And that's what we do every day of the year on our website and in our Facebook community. And in our own communities, even. But it was funny because when I read this thing of what happened to the members that signed the Declaration of Independence, 56 men who signed that, what happened to them? What did their fight for freedom cost them? And it's funny because, when you look back at it, you think that these were like very brave men and they were very well to do and they lived a wonderful life after this because they all of a sudden gave us freedom. That's not the case. See, five signers were captured by the British, and they were accused of being traitors. They were tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 24 were lawyers and jurists, and that's great, but 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers and had large plantations. They were men of means, very well educated, but they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well that death could be in the horizon for them. But they did it anyway. See, now, we in the BIL community and Barefoot is Legal and all that, and the group and all that, I mean, we're not asking people to go fight to their death for rights. But we have, because of that Declaration of Independence, because of our Constitution, and because of what these people fought and died for and signed and all that, and the sacrifice that they did already, we have rights. There are laws that protect us. And we need to use those rights, use the law to our advantage, to stand up for the freedom that we already have. The BIL community already has this freedom. We have a right to live a barefoot lifestyle for whatever our reasons are. And more people are getting it. More businesses understand that. But there are still many folks out there that don't. There are many people still out there that have prejudice. Many people that discriminate. Many businesses that don't want your business. And we, as a community, also have a lot of victory. I mean, we have one success story after another, and we're doing well. We got it. We're gaining traction. People are paying attention. They're taking us seriously because this is serious. And every week I say we got to come together and band together and support this cause. And I'm just the voice of this. I'm just the voice. And I also run the legal end of it too. But there's so much to do. And all of us make such great contributions to stand up for our rights. And it seems like you end up one set of stores is like, oh yes, we welcome you, and there's always that one. It's important that we send the message out there that, hey, if they don't want our business, there are dozens of others in that community that do. We need to send a strong message out there where we are not going to let them oppress us. We are not going to let them discriminate us, and show them that They are the only ones that really do this in that area. And we've said it before on the show. Proof has said it many times where, hey, just go to their competitor, do your shopping, photocopy the receipt, and send it to them. Show them how much business they're losing. Show them what these dim-minded twits are losing because they don't want customers in their door. And when you look about it, businesses are closing left and right. They're scrounging for business, but yet the business that they get in the door, that they spend a fortune getting in that door, they sit there and say, oh, because of your medical condition, because of your religion, because of your lifestyle choice, because of whatever freedom you think you have, we don't want you in our business. And we're going to sit there and tell them they're wrong. We're going to sit there and tell them that it's illegal. There are laws that protect us. The ADA, the civil rights laws from every state. There are state and federal laws, and you've heard me rant about this many times on the radio. You've heard me talk about it, and we have discussed it in depth, in detail. How dare these businesses think that they are above the law? You know, we have one of our wonderful members in charge of the West Coast Division, and he does amazing work with us, and I have him. He's waiting to get on the air now. I spoke to him briefly before the show, so I'm excited to have him on the air. He doesn't call much. He's so busy working on stuff. He's so busy dealing with all the issues for our members there in that area and all across the country. Micah, I'm going to bring you on right now because we have a huge show today, and I want to make sure we get to as many people as possible. Thanks for calling in. And you are a man of many victories when it comes to taking on businesses. And it's always great whenever I hear your victory stories and how you handle them and stuff. And so what do you got to share with us this week?
Yes, thank you for having me on. And
thanks for coming
yes,
on.
Yes, I tend to try. I try to deal with problems face-to-face rather than email like, on a local level rather than the corporate level if I can.
Yeah.
And so, like, I had to announce that, like, for the San Diego area, I had a problem at CVS, and I went to the actual district manager for the entire San Diego area. And he told me that he does not enforce any rule on shoes being required in his stores, and he's going to have a talk with the manager that kicked me out and make sure it doesn't happen in any of his stores in the area. So the basically what happens in these situations is you get an employee or a manager, somebody in power that's in the store. I've had employees, I've had managers, I've had head of security try to impose their power and try to make up their own rules. But then if you can get above them, a lot of times it turns out not to be a rule, not to be a policy, and it's just that employee coming out and trying to come on a power trip. And so that's why it's really important for people out there, if they go into a place once and they're told, you know, you can't be in here, it's important to push the issue because it could just be this one person that's having an issue with it. And if you talk to somebody else above them, keep going higher as far as you can, you most likely will run into somebody that's going to, you know, that knows how to run a business, that knows about profit, and they're not going to want to lose a customer. Now,
yeah,
of course, that doesn't happen 100% of the time. I have a few places out here, including one national place that up to the corporate level is not cooperating. So it's not 100% of the time, but for the majority of the time, when you're out there and you get harassed, it's most likely just that employee or that manager's idea. And so I just wanted to give the tip to everybody out there that, you know, you get stopped once, don't look at it as the end of everything for that place. You just got to keep trying.
That's true. And it's amazing when you mention it. There's so much inconsistency with, we'll say, the national chains. Corporate says, no, there is no policy, but you get into one store and it's like you have some overzealous employee that, like you said, they're on that power trip. They're sitting there like, oh, my God, like I just got the keys to the celery cabinet and I can sell tobacco now to someone and I have a key to this. And now I'm on this big power trip and all of a sudden I can start rewriting company policy and chase customers out of the store because I'm special now. And, I mean, my name tag has another sticker on it and now I'm more powerful than anything else. And then they destroy the business. I mean, they destroy the reputation of a business saying that, oh, no, we have rules and policies, because they really insult some customers. I mean, I know I'm insulted when they try to say something like that to me. I mean, how dare you, after being a loyal patron of 10 years or 15 years or 20 years or even a year, depending on the store, that all of a sudden someone comes out from nowhere, you know, screaming, oh, my God, we're all going to die because you don't have any shoes on. It's like, what? You need to go back to training. Where did the normal people that work here go? And
no, that's exactly the issue. That's exactly the issue. And I believe that in the future, hopefully we can make it impressive on enough companies that it becomes a standard for them to educate all the managers, because I think it's just something that's in their heads, and maybe they've come from some other place, work somewhere else where there's this rule, and they carry it over. And when you transfer jobs, you're not supposed to carry over what you know from the last one. You're supposed to know the policies of your current job. Or it's just the general BS that's embedded in the heads of the public, and they just think that's the right thing to do. And there's like a lot of reasons why they might be doing it, but I think like the corporations or even small businesses, they have to train employees, especially if they're going to put them in a space of a manager, on the policies and what is their policies and what isn't. And because you have, if I have a manager in a CVS, for instance, this store, I go in there, it's always empty. There's no business. This is a beach town, and she's kicking somebody out for no shoes, and she doesn't have business. And so to me, it tells me that she does not know how to run a store and shouldn't be the manager, because she's causing profit to walk out the door when she needs it. And so it's issues like that, the education of people in management that need to pick up, because I run into that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I've sometimes read through, like, company reports and, like, you know, annual reports, figures, stuff like that, just looking for certain businesses that are really hurting. And, you know, if it's something that I need at the time or want at the time or someplace, you know, something as simple as, like, a hamburger or something like that, and you have a particular chain in your area and you stop in that location that they deem as, like, an underperforming store, and you go in there and, you know, you order your food, you have attitude from one server. You know, it's like they, you know, they're either talking on their phone, not paying attention, mess up the order, you know, and they wonder why they're an underperforming store. You know, they're not focused on taking care of the customer. They're not focused on customer service. They're not, they barely know how to do their job, and you don't have a pleasant experience there. So, you know, I mean, you carry that over almost into the barefoot thing, because, you know, if the same underperforming stores are chasing business out of their stores and they wonder why it's like, oh, we only have one manager on duty for 14 hours each shift, you know, because we can't afford another manager because our store, just the numbers are just terrible and we're struggling to stay in business. And then, it's like, where's your manager? Oh, they're off now. When do they come back in 4 hours? When do they normally work? Although they're here all day, all the time. Where are they now? You know, who's paying attention? Who's watching this charade of a business that you people are running over there? And, you know, I've noticed that it's the higher the price tag on the goods in a store, the more intelligent, the more educated the people are that work there. And we'll say something like a fast food restaurant or a gas station or something like that. The intelligence is not there, and that seems to be where most of the people in the barefoot community have issues. it seems like it's the undereducated or uneducated people that have this mentality that these myths and this, I guess this, what they're brought up to believe is really true. And it's unfortunate. I mean, I've gone into some really great restaurants, really nice restaurants, and also some very high-dollar retail stores. They never bat an eye. If I go to get a receipt from a gas pump sometimes, they go crazy. They're going to get shut down. They're going to, oh, my God. Everything's going to fall on you, and it's this is a dangerous place. No one should be in here. You know, I was once told that the gas pumps would explode. I was like, okay, can you please explain that one? No. We're going to have to shut the pumps off if you don't put shoes on. What? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
That's pretty crazy.
I mean, and they just come up with some of them. I don't know if they just say stuff just to make themselves feel better about themselves or to make themselves feel smarter. But I've heard some really crazy ones over all the years. And
they're making excuses to they're making excuses to be able to justify what they're doing, because I've been into places many times where, you know, first they throw the health department at you, and then they say it's not a health department, and they throw a liability, and they say there's no liability to the duty of care. And then they throw a store policy in, and I throw back, like, well, I have a medical note. And then they'll start hitting the BS stuff about, oh, my God, you might, like, pour blood all over the floor, and then we have to call in a toxic team or something to clean it up. And it's just, like, it's this continuous stuff. It's like they'll keep coming up with excuses, and then I ask them, well, why did you tell me the first thing in the first place? And then they won't answer me, and it's kind of like, you know, they're just making an excuse. They just don't want you there, and they're trying to throw everything they can at you until they can find something that, you know, supposedly you can't argue with. But I pretty much argue with everything that they throw at me. So
yeah, you're pretty seasoned, and so am I. I mean, we have a lot of members that have just been there for years, and we have heard so much, and there's probably not one thing that you haven't heard that you don't have a rebuttal for, really. I mean,
yeah,
any objection that they throw at you, it's like, man, I've heard this so many times. Sometimes you just, I mean, I've sometimes heard some crazy things where I just sit there and just start laughing. I'll just start laughing. And they're just like, well, that's not funny. This is very serious, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no. Do you believe in unicorns too? I mean, where do you come up with this? Who writes your material? And, they're just like, oh, and they walk away. You know?
Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
No, exactly.
And it's all
ignorance.
That's
why I'm hoping in the future more people get educated, and I'm hoping that we can push this cause forward. And I'm hoping that in the future, just like a lot of other people who have their lifestyle causes recognized officially, that one day we could legally fully be recognized for our rights. I mean, there's a lot of different lifestyle choices that are now officially legally protected by the government. And I think it's enough. It takes numbers, and it takes not just numbers of people doing nothing, but it takes numbers of people speaking up for that to happen.
Numbers.
And so
you
can
have a whole army sitting on the other side of a cliff making waffles, but they need to get over that hill and charge.
Yeah, exactly. So I like to see more people speaking up and taking action. I mean, like, talking about, like, how, you know, talking about your day and all that stuff is good, but I'm talking about stepping up and speaking to businesses and getting out there and doing stuff. And if more people start doing it, more people start, you know, pushing this forward, it gets heard. If there's not a lot of people doing it, then it just stays stagnant. And I think it's starting to pick up. Like, even from 6 months ago, it's improved quite a bit, to move forward quite a bit. So I think it's heading in that direction right now. And,
yeah, I've noticed that. I mean, even just in the growth of the group that we've had.
Yes.
In the private group, I mean, it was a couple thousand in the beginning of last year. Now it's all of a sudden at 13,000, almost 14,000 members. But you're right.
Yes,
they can't
exactly.
just watch and say, oh, thank you for showing me all this wonderful stuff, and thank you for doing all that you do, so that they can go and have their life. I mean, that's great. Yes, that's what we want you to do. We want them to enjoy the lifestyle. We want them to stand up for their rights. We want them to be understood and accepted just like any other member of society. We're not running around, having these massive protests. That's not what we're here for. We're not lawsuit happy people, but we will use the law to protect us, you know.
Yes,
and
exactly.
We need them, you know, we need that participation pretty much.
Yes, exactly. And just to show that it does work, you know, I'm in the Encinitas, California area, and I've been going around towns, putting out flyers, spreading information. And so I've been out there doing stuff. And then I was recently contacted by Coast News, which is a newspaper that covers a few cities down on the coast. And so he wishes to speak with me on Monday, I'm guessing, to get more information. He told me that he has actually been barefooting since knee surgery, and so he said it's like the perfect time, and he said it's like the perfect interest for him, because he said he just started doing it. And so we have a meetup down here on the 29th of July. So if anybody's in the San Diego County area, go to the group, check the board, and add yourself to the meetup. But I'm going to try to see if he might do a story on the meetup that we have down here.
That'd be great, even just to have tag along, just to document it, and, you know, meet other members and maybe interview them as well as to their reasons and all that. I think that's great.
Yeah, exactly. When I give him a call on Monday, I will be mentioning that. I don't know if he just wants an interview with me, or if he might. I believe as a journalist, he probably would be more intrigued to actually go to the meetup and meet more than just one person. So I'm hoping we shall see what happens on Monday.
Yeah, well, even if it's a two-step process, maybe he just talks to you first and then, invite him to the meetup.
Possibly.
Yeah, yeah. And you have a very interesting tag. I mean, you were talking about doing on a very local level, as far as flyers and all that. We're coming up to the top of the hour. Do you want to stick around to tell us a little more about that when we come back?
Yes, sure.
Okay, great. Well, that was Micah, head of the Pacific Coast for Barefoot is Legal. And, of course, we are at the top of the hour. Now, no one's dropped off a huge suitcase full of cash yet, so we need to take a quick break to pay our bills. If anybody wants to be a part of the show, 319-527-6208. Again, that's 319-527-6208. We'll be right back. Are you barefooters out there looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Ay, 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 le chupacabra, por qué?
Are you tired of losing your herd of goats to the chupacabra? Are you worried about how you're going to eat because your goats were viciously ravaged? Call SNL Chupacabra Insurance today. SNL provides fast, speedy claims in the event of your goat farm being destroyed. Low rates, fast service, and professional attitude is what makes SNL your choice for Chupacabra Insurance. Call 855-CHUPA-NO today. 855-CHUPA-NO for a free rate quote. SNL Chupacabra Insurance, just in case the chupacabra comes.
Ay, 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 le chupacabra!
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
The following message is sponsored by Truth. Are you or someone you know suffering from sheepalism? Sheepalism is a debilitating disorder which affects a person's entire worldview and is characterized by ignorance, denial, abandonment of basic morals and values. An unwillingness to think critically about things read or heard by mainstream media is a strong sign that you have been affected. Fortunately, sheepalism is treatable in many cases. Treatment may include, but is not limited to, training to help the patient understand that truth is being intentionally withheld. Help in understanding that assumptions and speculations do not qualify as evidence for truth. Living with sheepalism is frustrating. Thankfully, there's hope for those suffering this debilitating condition. If you or someone you know is dealing with sheepalism, please contact your local Truth Movement for treatment. They're standing by to help you now, and remember, you're not alone. Side effects of treatment may or may not include shortness of breath, migraines, anaphylactic shock, and a worst scenario heart attack. See your support specialist for details.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
The views and opinions expressed during the BIL Radio Show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart,
welcome back to the Barefoot is Legal Radio Show, just after the top of the hour. 319-527-6208 is a way to be a part of the show. Before we went to break, we were on the line with Micah, head of our Pacific region. He's our Pacific Regional Director. And he was talking about how his tactics that he takes when spreading the word and getting the message out there. And Michael, welcome back.
Thank
so
you.
Before the break, we were talking about the flyers, very community oriented, right in there, boots on the ground. Well, feet on the ground, I should say.
Yeah.
Getting them out there. And, you know, it's, like you're saying, it's a lot more effective dealing with people in person than through an email communication or phone, because it's just, you know, sometimes you're talking to them and or you're sending them an email. There's really no conversation. There's really no turn their line of thinking around in most cases in writing, because then there's so much back and forth.
Well, it's not only that, it's like if I go to somebody personally face to face, and if more people go to somebody face to face, they see different people. If I could easily create 20 email accounts and send emails into a company, and like I'm sure they think that way, that they don't know if these are all unique people or if people are doubling up, you know, and so that's why I have the idea, like everything. All the movements, everything that's been done has been organized locally in different cities. I mean, we're not going to do protests because we don't have enough people yet, but everything, every cause that's ever taken off was done by local organization, local boycotting of businesses, and stuff like this. You need to get out into the public in the local area, because what happens is if you have everybody doing it, if you have like one person doing it in their area and spreading the word, getting out, more people start doing it, and it's going to be happening across the United States, then it just it solidifies the calls we make and the emails we send, because then they're actually seeing actual people coming to a business and say, I'm like, I'm with this group, this is what we do, and we're a real thing. We're not just somebody calling on the phone, we're not just somebody sending an email, but we are real people, and we're out there, and we're not just a few of us. And so that's why I'm wanting to like try to find, at least in this area, I'm wanting to try to recruit people. I feel the town that I'm in is almost like a gold mine, because the place that I work, I see somebody come in. I actually serve multiple barefooters a day, but I see like a new person come in every day that was not in before, that's a barefooter. And the problem with that is that my job, I'm not allowed to talk to anybody about anything other than work, because it's just considered
soliciting, you know, and it's stuff not, like that, and inappropriate, you know, so, trying to, you know.
Yeah.
You don't want the customers to feel uncomfortable being approached with something else and what they're expecting to be in the business about. But just setting examples of being there barefoot, or just, you know, when you see them, can you have any of the flyers out on the counter somewhere, or at a table, or wherever? Or?
Unfortunately, this place does not allow it. They used to have a community bulletin board, which they took down, which I'm actually trying to get them to put back up, because actually a few customers have asked for it. And so if I can get that put back up, I can put a flyer up there. I have put flyers around businesses in town. I have played around with the idea of putting flyers on phone poles and light poles in the areas where I know people might most likely have the interest, but I've been told I risk being fined for litter, but at this point I might just do it because it is an area that is, you know, would be the most concentrated area where people would be barefooters. I'm thinking, my vision is, like, if everybody could start doing something locally and start, I mean, everything starts local. I mean, when you have an election, you got people on the ground hitting every city and trying to, like, you know, go door to door and get people to, and so everything has to be, if you want to be successful, you got to also hit the ground. You can't just do it, you know, remotely. And so I'm hoping that there's people out there that will start stepping up locally. I mean, the flyers are in the file section, so they can be printed off. They don't cost that much to print up. It's a one-sided black and white sheet. And so I'm hoping there's people out there that will step up in their area and say, okay, I'm going to go out and, like, you know, put some flyers at businesses, put them on cards, hand them out, something like that, and try to maybe find other people in the area and start spreading the ability to do this.
Yeah, that'd be great. You know, get out there with the flyers and all that. And then, you know, in addition to flyers, I have Proof with us, too. He's joining us. And his whole thing is the memes, you know, the social media approach. So, you know, it's interesting because having all these angles, we have, you know, the flyers, and if people can get out there with flyers in their community and show people that this is something important to the community. And then, Proof, welcome to the show. And you're big on the memes, showing the social media scene. You know,
well,
almost the same tool that the flyers do, but in a different approach. So we kind of are nailing this in all different directions.
See, I like the flyer approach when you've got somebody physically sitting down or right in front of you.
Yeah.
So, Mike, I was just wondering if they would let you promote the event that we're doing on the 29th. Would they at least let you do that because we're bringing in an audience?
They will not let any promotions unless I go through corporate, and then if I go through corporate, they want to make it an event with, like, I have to guarantee, like, a lot of people are coming. Like,
all right.
I'm, you know, a big group, and then they have to make it an official event. Otherwise, they don't want it's semi-corporate. It's not big like McDonald's, but it has 13 locations, and they don't want any flyers or anything on their windows. I mean, you know, like, it's the same as if we were going to do it at a McDonald's or a company restaurant. They're not going to let any flyers or promotion go on there. But if we can, they did tell me, if we can garner a big enough group to make it what we call a community event. I was talking about to my boss about Eve, how I was envisioning us doing like a town hall meeting type thing where I call out to the actual public out here and say we're going to be there and please come for information, and we would be there like to talk about it. And she said if we could do something like that, then they could promote it, because then that means that we're actually creating a community event versus just having a meetup. So in the future, if we can plan to do this again, and this time plan to do it is more of like a reach out to the public, then I could actually pull that off.
That could be cool.
Well, do we still have time, or is it too late now?
It's kind of too late because they've already set the, like, it's we're already in the month. They've already set everything up for the month. And
because we're doing an event also 2 days before, as Micah knows, we're going to be in Long Beach. And they called me yesterday while I was taking the kids out to dinner. So at some point, usually with restaurants, if you're going to call in the afternoon, usually on a Saturday between like 2 and 3:30 will be generally the safest hours, right between lunch and dinner. So I was going to call them later. But yeah, I'm doing New York this week. I got a couple spots just doing the PR for our venture here and just try to reach out to new people. And you're right, though. The memes, for whatever reason, people like to share them. As long as they're effective, they'll get shared. Some of them are pretty funny. Some are educational. Some make people think. And it's just a matter of doing something every day in order to try and say, hey, look at us. We exist.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I mean, just the approach that we have from both angles on that. You know, we got most of it covered. I think next is public service announcements and more radio spots on other networks.
Yeah, that would be great.
Right. So one of the things that I want to teach others on here with being part of the BIL is I want to teach people and let people be confident that they can go on other radio shows and promote what we do. And I can do that. I do that occasionally. I just have not had the chance to reach out because I also run Freedomizer as a whole, and I work a day job, but that doesn't mean I can't get on to one or two stations a month on the weekends. But if we have several people just doing the radio show tours, and I have other friends in the business, of course, that if we can just get on a regular stream of trying to get on other shows, obviously that's going to raise more awareness.
Yeah. And, you know, with stuff like that, I mean, I know in my area, in my market, we have a talk station. And on Saturdays, they have an Ask the Expert weekend where they have different hour-long blocks of, you know, different topics. One may be cars, one may be gardening, one may be financial. Another one will be about health and wellness. Well, in most markets, I'm sure that they have something similar. So if there's a health and wellness section or even a legal program that's on the weekends, it would be great. You know, members should call into those radio shows in their local markets that may have a similar format and get on there and explain, you know, for health or for this or for that. You know, I think that would go a long way as well. Just getting on to those other local radio stations that may broadcast something like that.
Okay. Well, I do think so, and I know that when you listen to the radio at 6 in the morning on a Sunday, a lot of those times are based on they have to give an hour to a week to community service. And so they're always looking for new community service people that feel like being awake at 6 in the morning to do a radio interview.
Yeah, that's true. So just a matter of getting up then, waking up early and getting out there and putting your voice on a station. And,
it's not really that hard to just call in for a few minutes to talk about what you have. Usually places aren't going to do gotcha questions and try to make you look like a dummy. And that's why I want more people to try and call into our show here in the group and just try to get used to being an advocate as opposed to being a member.
Yeah. And that goes back to what Mike was talking about earlier. And, you know, we can sit behind the cliff and make waffles, but until we take the troops in charge to the other side,
right,
we're not going to advance.
Right. We have troops. It's just a matter of how do we properly organize.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, talking about going into the media and stuff, we have one of our members, Tyler. He's actually joining us this weekend. He's in the hold here. And he's done a lot of work on, you know, going out to different TV networks on the morning news and stuff for the Barefoot Autism movement. And I'm going to bring him on for a little bit before we go to our break at the bottom of the hour, because he's got some information I'm sure he wants to share with us. And Tyler, welcome to the Barefoot is Legal show. We have
Good to be back, Nick.
Hey, we love having you on the show. You're here with Proof and Micah on the air with us.
Hey,
all
guys.
Together now.
Hi.
Yeah.
And by the way, Micah,
go ahead.
Oh, we were just talking about the how like going out onto the different radio stations, Micah's flyer method, Proof's meme method, and me just being the voice on the microphone every week and doing the legal stuff and doing the broadcast, and how our different methods and techniques all contribute to the group. And for the listeners that don't know about you, you want to just give us a little bit of a background as to what you're about, what your reason for the Barefoot Living choice is, and what you do as far as the Barefoot Autism Society.
Yeah, well, as Nick said, I am a barefooter, and I actually have high-functioning autism, and for that, it's all part of, like, the sensory aspect of it, because people with autism, when they're barefoot, they're more calm and aware of their surroundings, and that's what my challenge was back in April, to have people experience what that's like. And one of them who actually did the challenge actually became a member of the BIL, Rochelle Germeyer, who also works at Wells Fargo, just like I do. And there's actually another Barefoot Autism thing that's later that'll be going on in Ames this August. So any of you guys who want to come by, it's with the Arc of Story County. I'll have the details later. And also, this August, there will be a meetup that I put together on August 12th, and proof. I don't know if maybe you could help me out with weeding out some Iowa members and see if they're in for this event, or encouraging some people to travel up to Des Moines to join this event. But I really would appreciate it if some of those guys would come by so I could maybe share it with them about my challenge, or if they have any tips for me in terms of barefooting in other places.
Well, I can mention the fact that you have a meetup going on. I wish there was a way on Spybook to find more people within your area. It's really cumbersome, which when we get our VIP memberships going here in the next 7 to 10 days, I'm hoping that within our VIP members, it'll be a lot easier to find people locally.
Yeah, or better yet, encourage some of the members from out of town to come down and visit the area, because Nick Deutschman did the same thing, as did Kelly Fadley.
Right. Well, I have to ask you, though, because I've only been through Des Moines. What is there if people want to stay there for a weekend and do things and come up? What would they do outside of meeting you, Tyler?
Well, there's actually a lot of things in the Des Moines area. You've got the Papa John's Sculpture Park in downtown. You got the Historical Museum. You got the Science Center. There's also the Farmers Market on Saturdays. And let's see, there's also Adventureland Park, which is very popular. Not to mention, the day that I'm having it is the first Saturday of the Iowa State Fair.
Okay.
And that's just to name a few.
What if you have your meetup at the State Fair?
Well, it's possible. I know I've made it for the location to be at the Grays Lake Park, and that's pretty popular too.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you had a location planned yet or not. If you mentioned it, I must have missed it.
Oh, I did.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I just now brought it up.
Because then that kind of goes into the whole thing that Mike was talking about, where Michael was saying, like, you know, about getting out there in the community with flyers and stuff like that. And if you have a group of people going to the State Fair to put that in public view, and other people realize that, you know, not just the people at the fair, but also other people attending the fair and all that, having a community, a barefoot community meetup there. Kind of kill two birds with one stone. You have the meetup, there's a lot to do, and you know, print some flyers, bring them with you.
Excuse me.
Because you know, we don't want to sit there in airports like the Hare Krishnas passing out flowers. I mean, we want to get out there in the community, and I think that'd be a great idea, especially if the State Fair is starting now. Then that's just my two cents. Your meetup,
yeah, it is a possibility.
Yeah.
And I know for sure two members said they were thinking of coming, one of them being Rochelle Germeyer, who I just mentioned, and the other one being Lisa Greshman, I believe the last name is. She's from Grinnell, and she was going to meet up with me for an autism Shinjin Yoku thing, but couldn't make it. So she said that when the time comes, she'll know for sure if she can make it or not.
Got it. So you do a lot of work, and I just want to touch on this briefly before I run out of time, with the whole autism community. And as you mentioned earlier, the reasons for being barefoot and the sensory aspect of it. Can you elaborate a little bit on that, just for our listeners that may not be too familiar with maybe some of the past broadcasts that you've done with us, you're on the show?
Sure.
Because I'm sure there are people out there that may be having similar situations or, you know, similar conditions and all that, that would, you know, be interested to know about that.
Sure. Either for those of you who do have autism or know someone with autism, then you probably know that their senses are a bit greater than some other people's. Like, they're a bit more sensitive to things they see, or they hear things a bit louder. They don't like the texture of certain things, especially like finger paint or grass on their hands. But in this case, for a lot of people with autism, being barefoot actually lets them be more aware of their surroundings and calms them down, like grounding themselves. And I know for sure that a few people on BIL have autism, and they're barefoot for the exact same reasons. And as a board member for the Autism Society of Iowa, I'm open for you guys if you have any questions about autism and being barefoot, if you want to either reach out to my challenge page, Barefoot Autism Challenge, or even my personal one.
Yeah, definitely. Reach out. You know, tell your wealth of information when it comes to that, and just everything that you do to help spread the awareness and bringing those two aspects together, and just getting out there just to show people what.
Yeah.
You know,
in fact, I even recruited another member just because I saw him barefoot at a local Culver's.
Got it. That's great. You know, being out there, just like Micah, just pounding that pavement and all that, doing what you do. And, you know, I mean, that's another aspect as far as the barefoot for medical reasons. And how the law protects us, you know, as far as the ADA is concerned. And most civil rights laws in most states as well. So, Tyler, thanks for being on the air with us. We appreciate you coming on. You have a wonderful weekend.
You're welcome.
Thanks for sharing, and thanks for
you
taking
too.
Time out and joining us this weekend. And a little, about a minute before we go to our bottom of the hour break. And we also have some new sponsors on the show. Micah, you're still with us?
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay. And, of course, Proof, any quick updates for the group before we take our first break? Or?
Well, we have our new sponsor, of course, that I'm looking forward to having. One of our group members decided that they like our organization so much and they see the positive movement that we have that they wanted to try their hand at sponsoring us and getting some ads played. So she's upper management of a group that assists with nonprofits and organizations. And I literally, as the show started, was working on just finishing up and making the commercial be what it is. So hopefully we have it on file, then we can share with the audience, because I promised.
On the bottom of the hour break, they're in there. In the ad reel now, and make sure my staff here is working diligently on this program today. So they're all instructed not to open up the door when the pizza gets here, because then the last half hour will be a disaster. So, but yeah, no, I do have them in the queue for our bottom of the hour break here. So definitely stay tuned, because no one's dropped off the suitcase of money yet, so we got to pay the bills. 319-527-6208 is a way to be a part of the show. More callers on deck, and more of your questions. Barefootislegal.org. Check us out on the website. Wealth of information. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you barefooters out there looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
Ay, 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 Le Chupacabra, porque?
Are you tired of losing your herd of goats to the chupacabra? Are you worried about how you're going to eat because your goats were viciously ravaged? Call SNL Chupacabra Insurance today. SNL provides fast, speedy claims in the event of your goat farm being destroyed. Low rates, fast service, and professional attitude is what makes SNL your choice for Chupacabra Insurance. Call 855-CHUPA-NO today. 855-CHUPA-NO for a free rate quote. SNL Chupacabra Insurance, just in case the chupacabra comes.
Ay, 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 Le Chupacabra!
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait, there's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
The following message is sponsored by Truth. Are you or someone you know suffering from sheepalism? Sheepalism is a debilitating disorder which affects a person's entire worldview and is characterized by ignorance, denial, abandonment of basic morals and values. An unwillingness to think critically about things read or heard by mainstream media is a strong sign that you have been affected. Fortunately, sheepalism is treatable in many cases. Treatment may include, but is not limited to, training to help the patient understand that truth is being intentionally withheld. Help in understanding that assumptions and speculations do not qualify as evidence for truth. Living with sheepalism is frustrating. Thankfully, there's hope for those suffering this debilitating condition. If you or someone you know is dealing with sheepalism, please contact your local Truth Movement for treatment. They're standing by to help you now, and remember, you're not alone. Side effects of treatment may or may not include shortness of breath, migraines, anaphylactic shock, and in worst scenario, heart attack. See your support specialist for details.
Hey, FreightMS, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together. Right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? organizations that protect the environment, or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to wefunder.com/groundswellcard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up.
Preacher man, oh, tell me, heaven is on the ear. I know you don't know what life is really worth.
319-527-6208 is a way to be a part of the show. Give us a call, press 1 to be on the air. Again, that's 319-527-6208. Before we went to the break, we're on the line with Tyler and Micah, giving us some great information as far as flyers and some of the legal aspect of it. Tyler, as far as his autism and the autism challenge, the Barefoot Autism Society, and also with us this weekend, Proof, co-hosting, head of the Freedomizer Radio Network. And welcome back.
Welcome. Thank you for thanking me in. And we could go back to the phones. We do have Bree, who recently has found us.
Yeah, definitely. Love to hear. And you got the switchboard, or?
Go ahead. That commercial was not the one I needed for some reason. I don't know why it is. Why the old one got put back on the board, but. That's kind of what I was doing at the beginning of the show. So the first one ended up getting uploaded and not the one with the music. So I'm going to be working on that here behind the scenes.
Well, we at least got the our sponsor's message out there. And,
yes.
You know, as long as our listeners hear the special message, that's all that counts. But on the BIL radio show, 319-527-6208. Is a way to be a part of the show. Press 1 and check out our website, barefootislegal.org. And our Facebook group. If you live a barefoot lifestyle and you want to be part of the barefoot community, join us. It's a closed group. But, of course, keep in mind, it's not a place for all you heavy-breathing fun seekers to get your rocks off on foot pictures. We are here to educate and empower you and dispel the myths that being barefoot is illegal. Because we want you to know that it is legal. And that's what we do here every weekend and throughout the week on other. Bree, welcome to the Barefoot is Legal radio show. How are you this wonderful weekend?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on. This is super exciting for me and my small, tiny Texas town.
So Proof was saying that you're one of our newer members. Are you new to the lifestyle or just new to the group?
I'm new to realizing that there is a lifestyle. Growing up relatively poor in Texas, we had two pairs of shoes. One was for going to church and one was for going to school, and mama better not catch you outside wearing them. So it was never a lifestyle. It was just, that's what you did. And I'm a single parent. I have a six-year-old, and we start our days off saying, do you feel like wearing shoes today? That's just our choice, and I don't believe that I should stifle him in any which way, including how he feels about putting on what he wants to put on his body. That goes for haircuts and clothes and shoes and everything else. So I'm new to realizing that there are other people out there that take the rights and responsibilities part of standing up for themselves seriously. So it was a really freeing feeling to realize that there are other people out there like that, and I stumbled upon it on Facebook, to be honest.
Oh, well, how'd you find it?
I think I just managed to find a mem. I mean, I think that philosophy that we're using about putting out a mem to get people talking is exactly what happened. I saw a mem, and it linked me to the website, and I saw the ADA cards, and I saw all these things, and I was like, so I don't have to just stand there and argue with nothing to back me up, but my philosophy is I don't like to do what people tell me to do just because they tell me to do it, and that's generally served me pretty well. But when I found the website and I found this wealth of information that there was actually stuff to back up how I felt about it, it wasn't just a feeling, man, I hit the ground running. I really did. And it's been a parenting philosophy of mine, because being a parent really changed my world. But it was this, like I said, this liberating feeling to know that there was something that was going to stand behind me in this, and I didn't have to have any kind of fear in standing up for myself.
That's great. So the resources are there, and you just took them and went with it. The so you pretty much grew up living barefoot.
Yeah, absolutely. I worked in hospitality management and HR for a long time, and so that wasn't an area of my life that I could ever indulge in, because I was a trainer for a long time, and so I just had to train and teach from the material that was provided to me. But it was kind of a really big juxtaposition for me, because I was teaching this material I didn't agree with, but, you know, that was my job, and so I could understand that. But the more I get into the material now, in the last 6 months, it's been about 6 months since I started really diving into it, I see the stuff that just doesn't make sense, you know, and I'm one to always question. That's what I teach my child, is that there's nothing wrong with respectfully questioning, you know, as long as you stay respectful. And so I grew up barefoot, and I maintain this barefoot lifestyle, not just because, it's more comfortable, and, like I said, I live in Texas. It's 110 degrees in the shade, but that doesn't really change much for us out here. The point of it for me is it's a basic liberty, and so if you can start small and then you can work your way up. I live in a very, very conservative area. There are only 700 people in my town, and it's kind of like a sit-down, shut-up, we-don't-like-outsiders kind of area. And I'm lucky enough to really not encounter a lot of resistance, I think just because they look at me as a crazy outsider, which is fine, but it does engage a lot of conversation. And so I do see a lot of opportunity where I'm at to start the conversation. And that's really great for me, because that's what I always say, man, I've always lived this way. I just didn't realize it was a thing. You know, I never realized this was a thing. I just thought that this was just me. And so to have all these people behind me, and I had such a great conversation with Dave and Nick, to know that, like, it's not just me being weird. This is a thing. And not only is it a thing, if you can teach people on a really fundamental level, like, stick up for your little rights, that gives you a little bit more oomph to stand up for your big rights. And that's that building block. You know, you start with something you're really confident in, and then you can go on to things that maybe are a little more scary for you, or that you're not as educated in.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty good point you make. Now, with the town you live in now, it's not the same town that you grew up in then, or is it the same town?
Well, I grew up down in the Galveston-Houston area, in between around there. I'm actually from Baltimore is where I was born, but my parents relocated when I was real young. And, we grew up in a very rural area. Where I'm at now is kind of near San Antonio, in between San Antonio and Uvalde. So it's the hill country out here. It's nothing but ranches and farms. And the little tiny town I live in started out as a cedar town. So it was just a place that they were cutting down and transporting cedar. And so it's still a lot of ranch and ag land out here. And so you see these guys that work all day, 12 hours in these boots, and even they go into some of these cafes and kick off their boots, you know. And that's the great conversation starter to say, hey, you know that that's a thing? Like, people choose to live that way because that's the way they think. After all day long working, all I want to do is kick off my shoes. So we try to push them a little bit. You know, well, why not go into the Family Dollar without them? You know, it's those little tiny things that teach the people that maybe don't even realize that they can be taught, you know?
Yeah, and that's a very good point. I mean, you know, people don't want to wear them. Why wear them? And
yeah.
I think that it's just the impression that people get where there may be laws or something like that against it that, you know, is the reason why they don't. And being out there like you do and just saying, hey, why don't you just live that way? You grew up that way. And you're kind of making it more acceptable, positive encouragement when it comes to, you know, that reinforcement of saying, you know, hey, you don't have to wear them. If you're comfortable, why? You know, why bother? Why torture yourself?
Exactly. And my area has a large population. Where I'm at right now, currently in between San Antonio and Uvalde, we have a really large population of older people. And so I find that not even so much the legality of it is what stops them. It's the uneducated, like, area of the health concern. They don't understand about bacteria on the ground, or they don't understand about the way that UV rays can kill things. They really do think that the soles of your feet are like direct links to your mouth and you're going to catch some kind of terrible communicable disease. And so if you can just show them, you know, because they've been out of the realm of being in school or in an educational environment for some of them 20, 30, 40 years. So you can't really fault them for not knowing. But what I try to do in my little sphere of influence is to just stop that continuing negative education. Because I may not be able to change their mind, but I can put a stop to them continuing to tell people nonsense.
Yeah, because it seems like they're very set in their old ways. And that happens a lot.
Yeah, and it's out of fear. That's all it is. It's fear.
Yeah, yeah. It's like some don't want to progress anymore in learning. They're set in their ways. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, sometimes some new things could be scary to people once they reach a certain age. Like the internet. I mean, my grandparents would never get on that. They get lost on a computer. I mean, whether they've taken classes on it. I mean, and in our town where I grew up, where my grandparents still live, I mean, they teach classes at the library, the Y's, the different senior organizations and stuff like that to learn computers, to learn, like, how to make a profile on Facebook and interact. Sometimes they just don't get it. They're too set in their ways. They can't wrap their head around it. And both of my grandparents are very intelligent, well-educated people. But it gets to a point where it's just, I'm not going to learn this because this is either scary, it's so foreign. I mean, I remember hearing stories where, like, you know, when a VCR tape popped out of a VCR, one of my elderly relatives at the time jumped back, like, almost 15 feet. Just didn't understand what just happened and thought it was just about to launch right out.
And there's so many
like
barriers. You know, there's so many barriers out there to getting that across. Like, you've got to understand, like Nick was telling me, kill them with kindness to the point, like, I don't have to change your mind, but let me just tell you what I know. And after I walk out of the door, you can talk about me being a crazy, loony, hippie, whatever it is that you want to say. But the only thing that I try to do as best I possibly can is to find the least common denominator. So we have a lot of these older people, and they say, okay, it's a germ-related thing. But for these people that have such issues with their legs and their back and such pain management medication issues, if you can find just one little brick in the wall to chip out and say, well, this might help. I don't know if maybe they do it after I'm gone and they're too proud to let them know I'm doing it. But if you can just find one little thing, like if it's not the germ thing or if it's not the law thing, maybe it'll help your leg. And just walk away on that note of leaving that possibility in their head. That's all I can do.
I'm starting on something new right now. When people tell me I could drop something on my foot, I'm going to ask them why they're not wearing a sun visor. Because
the sun visor
is like the flip-flop for your head. And you can bang your head or you can have something fall on your head. Why would you not want to protect your brain? You only have one.
Yeah. And my big thing that I've come into contact with a lot, because all of our stores here, we have no grocery store. Our nearest grocery store is 50 miles away. Like, that's how rural we are. And we have one dollar store, and that's it. So every business in my town is privately owned by families that have been here for a month of Sunday. And so a lot of what you encounter here is, well, that's just the way it is. And I respect that. At the end of the day, I know that you and your wife or whoever it is will not be the one running this in 10 years. It'll be your children and your grandchildren. And this property will not forever be owned by old man whatever. And so I've got to focus on that moving forward idea, because my kids go to school with their kids. So that's the seed I'm planting in my mind, because my son starts first grade here this next year, and I do not plan on requiring, forcing, or backing down on the issue of him having to wear a shoe. And so it's going to start something, but what I wanted to start is a conversation.
Yeah, and that's always great. And that's a great approach to take to it. I brought Micah back in, too, because I know that he was talking about some of this before as far as, you know, in the community, getting the message out there, and also the rebuttals and
you know, when people say one thing, you're killing them with kindness and the educational process. So before I bring Micah back in here, if he has anything to add before we run out of time this week. Micah, you're on the air with Bree and Proof. Want to add anything to that?
You live in such a small town that it might be really easy to get out, like get the word out there in your town, and you might actually find people in your town that are going to be that might be interested. I'm trying to find the word; it's not coming to me right now. But
more receptive.
Not even receptive, but you might actually find more people that are going to think the same way, who are in town right now and are just like, you know, fighting it right now. So, because your town is so small, like that's like a perfect example of being able to actually reach every single person in that town. If you could, if you could do something to reach out to, you know, people in the town. I mean, businesses. Tell the businesses about this group. Tell the businesses about the laws. And, you know, there is no law. Like, we have pamphlets. What I'll do is we have pamphlets for members, but I'll print out the pamphlet and give it to a business so that they can read all the information about it. There's a lot of different options, but the best thing is to talk face-to-face to them and explain to them. Like if you go into a place and they just say, you know, get out, like, I don't just do it. I do a lot of, you know, rebuttal back to them. I explain stuff to them. I argue with them. Not in a hostile way, but I won't just, like, you know, somebody says, oh, you need to get out now. I don't just turn around and walk out the door. I have to have, like, a long speech about everything, and that's how you got to, like, look at it, because, like I said earlier, you might have run into one employee that's saying that, and the rest might not actually be on the same page, and it's just one person causing an issue. So.
Yeah, and a huge thing I try to do is go on, like, small missions. I'll go in and buy one thing, and that way if I encounter resistance later, I can say, you know, I was just in here last week, and I had no issue. So I try to prime it, you know.
Well,
no, exactly.
And one thing that I like to share, too, is I'm big with getting receipts, and if a place does not want my money because they say nobody will take your money, then I have four or five other receipts that I can send in and say, well, it's my choice because you need me more than I need you, and I can just go to any of these other stores within a half-mile radius.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in a town that has an economy like mine, it's a huge deal where your money is spent, because it is a 50-mile drive to go spend your money somewhere else, and people pay attention to that. I'm really grateful that San Antonio news station lately posted an is driving illegal thing. So it was a great opportunity for me to reach out to people. Now, San Antonio is 2 hours from me, but that's a great launching platform for me to be able to arrange a meetup and find people who are influential in this county area. Now, Texas is so spread out, so you're driving no matter what if you're going to try to meet people, you know. But it's a great way to find like-minded people who are maybe just scrolling through the news, you know, because that's how far you got to go to find local news around here.
Yeah.
I plan on leaving that area, so you'll see how I work some of these so that we can get membership.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
And the whole thing with the receipts that Proof was talking about, doing it in a small town like yours, Bree, if, you know, you have a lot of little mom and pops that, like you said, are very competitive with where they're, or very concerned with where the money's going. If they don't want you in the store and they realize that you're going to drive that 50 miles to go to that big box or mega mart retailer in, you know, 50 miles away, you know, they're not going to be able to, first of all, I'm sure they probably charge like $3 for a can of peas. That you could probably get for 38 cents on sale, you know, at the big box store, you know. And if you start stocking up and you're sending them receipts that are, you know, $300-$400 for the month, you know, whatever your food budget is or whatever your, you know, household items are for a month, they're gonna realize that, you know, wow, this was just my mortgage, or this was feed for my farm, or, you know. They look at a big ticket receipt like that and wonder why it's not in their till, why it's not being run through their register. That's going to be a big eye opener, especially for a little mom and pop store that is probably making $300 a week.
And happy to do it too. And there's a certain amount of small town politics that happens here that I don't think you see on a grander scale. And that's definitely a stumbling. That's an opportunity point for us. I don't like to see problems. I like to see opportunities. And so that's something that I have to deal with here. And a lot of people that are working in the movement have to consider also that some of these things just don't want to be changed. But at the end of the day, that's what liberty is. It's whether or not you want it to change, whether or not you choose to accept the fact that it is changing. That's all right.
Yeah.
You know, tough cookie.
Can you imagine the impact that a small mom-and-pop business like that, we'll say a general store or a little, you know, convenience store somewhere, could you imagine the impact if they decide to discriminate and you turn around and say, okay, well, I'm going to sue you because of violation of civil rights? I mean, the attorney bill that they would have to pay to defend that, or even if they get fined by the ADA, if it's for a medical reason.
Yeah.
You know, that's $75,000. They're probably making that in 6 months.
Oh, they go under. There's no question about it. They go under. And in an area like this, I mean, we're still fighting racial discrimination here. Like, I mean, it's that far behind. There's a hanging tree in my town. So, I mean, we and that's why I think that it's important in my sphere of influence to start with the basic things, and then that's a launch pad for us to talk about bigger issues. I can't fight from the top down. I have to literally start from the bottom up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a struggle. And, you know, I think that...
It is, but it's worth it.
The impact that if you just take that one store that's the meanest and, you know, whatever it is, and make an example out of them, that would really straighten the act out of a lot of those other little stores in that area.
And that's the beauty of the internet, is it does a lot of the work for you, you know, and sharing this stuff and liking it and showing that I'm in my public library right now, me and my son, and just putting up these pictures and showing people that, you know, your approval is not necessary, but we would certainly like your support, you know.
And one thing I just like to mention, the fact that you're in a small town. I grew up in a small town. Well, it has grown up now, but about 20 years ago when I started not wearing shoes, it was probably at about 2,000. Now it's at 9,000. But during the time when I was starting out, you know, my town was is a conservative part of California. It's the inland eastern area. A lot of conservatives there. And so when I first started out, I was getting a lot of crap around town. The market would kick me out, the restaurants. But then I started getting known around town as a shoeless guy. And when I left and I moved down to the coast, everybody in the city knew who I was. Nobody kicked me out of anywhere because they knew what that's just who I was. And so that's the plus of being in a small town. After like 6 months of just going about in town, and they know who you are and they don't bother you anymore. It's like, okay, this person is that. This is what they do. And okay, well, that's what you're known about around town then. And
I don't try to stop anybody from doing anything else. I would never try to impede anybody else's business, but far be it for them to impede mine.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And
It takes a while for them.
Yeah, you were saying it's like, you know, you end up with that celebrity. You're known as that person, and you end up, you know, becoming famous for that. After 20 years, I mean, I'm famous in a lot of places. And, you know, it'd be great to hear more of the stories. However, we are out of time this week. Check us out on our website, barefootislegal.org. And I'd like to thank all of our callers, Micah, Tyler, Bree, and all of our listeners out there. Thank you, Proof, for riding with us this weekend. And definitely see everybody next week. Next week will not be a live broadcast, though. Just keep that in mind. But there's always empowering content ready for you to listen to. Well, until next time, keep the shoes off, keep them bare, be empowered, be informed, inform those around you. I'm Nick Pierce. Thanks for listening to Barefoot is Legal Radio. Have a good one.